And there we're going to talk about the parasha. The parasha this week is really a combination of two parashiyot, Baharim b'chukotai. We're going to talk about the first pasuk of the first parasha. This year is dedicated in memory of Yosef Hirsch, zichrono livracha, on his 20th yahrzeit by his loving family. Yosef was a student in our yeshiva. And about Yosef, I could say that his death was really a tragedy for Am Yisrael, because he had the potential and was acting on that potential to do great things for our nation. The first pasuk in our parasha says, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai le'mor." And Rashi points out, we'll look at the Rashi in a moment, Rashi points out that this idea of a Har Sinai seems odd. I mean, most mitzvot are not explained as coming from Har Sinai, but we understand that somehow they come from Har Sinai. Let's look at the Rashi. Let's see how Rashi tries to help us. Har Sinai, Ma'inyan Shemitah Itzel Har Sinai. So we know that this parasha in Bahar, at the beginning of Bahar, chapter 25 in Vayikra, Bahar, contains an extensive discussion of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah, every 7 years, Yovel every 50th year, the details are expressed explicitly in this parasha of Bahar. So Rashi says, quoting, we'll see it in a minute, Ma'inyan Shemitah et ha'atzadai. Why is it that the topic, Shemitah, it is a stress in the pasuk, Bahar Sinai, that this happened Bahar Sinai. Why is that? I mean, all of the mitzvot were from Har Sinai. Hello, Rashi says, Kol ha-mitzvot nemru mi-Sinai. All of the mitzvot were spoken mi-Sinai. Now, that's far from obvious. If you remember the parasha of Matan Torah, which is called Yitro, he says, where does it say that Kol ha-mitzvot nemru mi-Sinai? Ela, that's exactly the point. Mashmita nemru klaloteha upratoteha v'tiktukeha v'sinai. Just as all the details of the halachic system of Shemitah was spoken v'sinai, because it says in the pasuk Bahar Sinai, at kulam nemru klaloteha v'tiktukeha v'sinai. And so we are to understand that even though the words Bahar Sinai do not appear in other mitzvot, not Shemitah, not Yovel, but other mitzvot, the words Bahar Sinai do not appear. So that means that somehow somehow there's a lacuna which I don't want to get into. There's something missing in this Rashi with the Ramban that tries to explain with considerable effort. Kach shnuya b'Torat Kohanim. Torat Kohanim is a medrash, the medrash halakha on the book of Vayikra. Torat Kohanim, the Torah of the priests. Torat Kohanim. Benir Eli. So this is all a quote. But the idea, I mean, even though there's a question about the quote that Rashi quotes here, but the idea that everything comes from, everything was given somehow to Har Sinai, that idea is understandable. I mean, I understand that. I may not understand how we know that, but I could understand the words in the Torah Kohanim. V'nira li, Shekach Perusha. So Rashi admits that this is a difficult passage, and he wants to explain it. And he says, the fish alomat sinu, Shritat Karkaot Shinishneit Baravot Moab. Avot Moab is the book of Dvarim, also known as Mishne Torah. The halachot of Shemitah are not given to us in Mishne Torah or in Arvot Moav. Lamadu sheklaloteh pratoteh kulam ne'emru b'Sinai. So we understand. When did this happen? It happened at HaSinai. And the pasuk comes to teach us, "V'lamad kan al kol dibur shenitvar leMoshe, shemisinai hayu kulam." That everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him the words of the Torah, shemisinai hayu kulam. They were all from Sinai, klaloteihem v'dikdukeihem. And then they might have been repeated again. Anything that's in Arvot Moav is not invented in Arvot Moav, but Chazru v'Nishnu b'Arvot Moav. That's why the book of the Torah, the book of Dvarim, is also called Mishnah Torah. Is also called Mishnei Torah. B'chazru v'nishnu v'arvot mo'av. So that all the halachot that are mentioned in the book of Tvarim is not because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't receive them at Har Sinai. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu received them at Har Sinai. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? So there's a pasuk at the end of the parsha of Mishpatim, and you have to bear with me. I was not able to fix these Mar'ei Mekomot in a proper manner. The end of the parsha of Mishpatim, I'm going to try to make it easier. Perek Kaf Dalet Pasuk Yud Bet. Perek of Dalet Pasuk Yud Bet, it says the following. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, like you have to know the end of the parasha of Mishpatim. There's Yitro, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai and all the people were standing there and they received something which enabled them to understand that receiving a Torah min HaShamayim is, in fact, a possibility. It could happen. It did happen for Bnei Yisrael. And then the next time, after the parasha of Yitro comes the parasha of Mishpatim. The parasha of Mishpatim contains a lot of laws of the Torah. So that when Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Bnei Yisrael said, do you accept it? They accept the Torah. So they could say, yes, we accept the Torah. Why? Because it's hard to accept something if you don't know it. You don't know what it is. So what's your acceptance worth? So the parasha of Mishpatim, the parasha of Mishpatim is the parasha of acceptance of the Torah. Leads to the acceptance of the Torah. And then finally, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the parasha of Mishpatim, that's the puzzle that we're learning. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ale Elai Ahara. V'yesham, now go up. What do the Jews have up to now? Up to now they have Aseret HaDibrot, and they have the parasha of Mishpatim. Then God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ale, Elai, Ahara, V'yesha, go up to the mountain and be there. And be there. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Right? First there was Yitro. And then there's 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. V'etnalecha, the pasuk says. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will give you, et luchot ha'evin, the stones the blocks of stone on which the Aseret HaDibrot will be engraved. Et Nalechat Luchot Evan. This time, God is responsible for these command, for these stones on which the commandments will be written. V'HaTorah, HaTorah, V'HaMitzvah, Asher Chatavti Lo'ratam. All of this is going to be there. Torah and Mitzvah, we don't know exactly what that means. Let's look at Rashi. Again, I'm looking at the Rashi in Shmot. In Shmot and Perikav Dalet, Pasuk Yud Bet, the Rashi says that Luchot Ha'Evin V'Torah V'Mitzvah Shekatavti Lo'otam. Rashi, who like formulated all of our ideas of these things, Rashi says, Kol Sheish Me'ot U'Shlosh Esrei Mitzvot. What is God going to give Moshe Rabbeinu? What is God going to give Moshe Rabbeinu? Kol sheish mi'ot u'shlosh esrei mitzvot. All the 613 mitzvot. So Rashi says, why did he do that? How did he do that? Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, you know, before the Chet Ha'egel. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. He saw everybody singing and dancing, and he broke the tablets. What was written on the tablets? The Ten Commandments. How does Rashi think that the 613 mitzvot were given to Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, in some manner, why are the Ten Commandments special? Why are they just commandments like other commandments? I mean, what's the difference between what's written in the Ten Commandments and the eating of matzah on Pesach, shaking a lulav on Sukkot? What's the difference? So Rashi says, sheish me'ot u'shlosh esrei mitzvot, the 613 mitzvot that we know about, bechlal aseret ha'dibrot, they're somehow included. I would say that each of the Ten Commandments is a topic. It's a heading. And that topic and that heading contains the rest of the mitzvot. So it's like Moshe Rabbeinu received the Ten Commandments in an obvious manner. And somehow he also received the 613 mitzvot somehow within each of the Ten Commandments. There were other commandments. And all in all, he received all 613. And Rashi goes on and quotes Rav Saadia Gaon. If you don't know who that is, look it up. That's why we have Google. Rav Saadia Gaon, Pirish Basaroche Yasad. Rav Saadia Gaon, in one of the books that he wrote, Yasad, Lekol Dibur V'Dibur, Mitzvot Atliot Bo, and Rav Saadia Gaon, Rav Saadia Gaon understood what this idea was, and he showed that the 613 mitzvot can be placed into the category called, Dibur or Dibrot or the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. Each one of the commandments creates a topic. Okay, it's a topic, and that topic, finally, when you add up all the Ten Commandments, all the commandments that are brought to bear from the Ten Commandments, you find 613. So again, according to Rashi, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, what did Am Yisrael receive at Har Sinai? They received the 613 mitzvot, and the 613 mitzvot were in two forms. One, I mean, I'm skipping the Chet Ha'egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up again on Har Sinai, another 40 days and 40 nights received. The same thing in the second time that he received the first time, except that the second time, the Luchot Ha'Evan, the stones that Moshe Rabbeinu brought up to heaven were made by him. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time the stones were made by God. And the second time, the stones were made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So except for that difference, the second time they went up, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the stones. Other stones were Aseret HaDibrot, and somehow the Aseret HaDibrot led to Moshe Rabbeinu understanding all the 613 mitzvot, and that was kind of validated somehow or verified by Rav Sadia Gaon, who actually showed that it's reasonable to say that the 613 mitzvot can be part of the ten commandments. Rashbam, who wrote a commentary that added on to Rashi, the Rashbam said, Bahar Sinai, what does Bahar Sinai mean in this pasuk that we're learning? Kodem shukam ol mo'ed. Kodem shukam ol mo'ed, because what happened when hukam ol mo'ed? Ol Mo'ed is where the Torah was taught to B'nai Israel during the 38 years of the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu would go into the Ol Mo'ed, receive the next part of the Torah, and then come back again. So we see from the Rashi in Mishpatim that, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu did not receive the Torah that he wrote in the desert and gave out to the Shvatim at the end of his life. The 13 Sifrei Torah, one for each of the tribes, and one for Aaron HaKohen, so that the Ohel Mo'ed represents, as the Ramban pointed out, the stent of the meeting that they had, which was sort of like the way the Beit HaMikdash will ultimately be built. The Ohel Mo'ed was the place that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah that was written down in the 38 years of the desert. It was the Ohel Mo'ed, the words Ohel Mo'ed, indicate leaving Har Sinai and leaving the experience of Har Sinai. And the experience of Har Sinai for B'nai Yisrael was Aseret HaDibrot. And the Aseret HaDibrot, Rashi said, contained in potential all of the mitzvot of the Torah. But Torah, what we call Torah, the Torah Shebichtav, the Torah that is written down, told him that Torah began in Ol Mo'ed. It's true that Rashi said that the Torah of Bereshit until Yitro was known to B'nai Yisrael, even before they came to Har Sinai. But it's not clear what it was that they had. So the point is that Rashi is making. Let's go back to the beginning of the Rashi. Ba'inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. Why is this stress that the rules of Shemitah have something to do with Har Sinai? Ma'lo kol ha-mitzvot ne'marot mi-Sinai. Kol ha-mitzvot. That's the Rashi in Mishpatim. Elama Shemitah ne'marot la-loteha pratoteha v'diktukeha mi-Sinai. And here I would say that this is really what the Rambam said. The Rambam said in the introduction that he wrote to the Perush HaMishnah that he wrote, he the Rambam, and he said that you have to understand that there's a Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah Shebichtav. There's a kind of necessary interpretation. And that necessary, so the Rambam says, is the pasuk says, "V'sukol teishvu shivat yamim." Sit the sukkah for 7 days. That's a simple pasuk. The Rambam says not so simple. How do you know about the walls of the sukkah? How do you know about the schach of the sukkah? How do you know how big the sukkah could be? How tall the roof of the sukkah could be? I mean, so if Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the pasuk, b'sukkot teishvu shivat yamim, somebody's going to say, what's a sukkah? If Moshe Rabbeinu says, totafot beinecha, somebody's going to say, what's totafot? And that is called by the Rambam, for the Rambam, and that's what, as I understand it, Torah Shebaal Peh, or Torah Shebichtav. In other words, with the Torah Shebichtav comes Torah Shebaal Peh. You have to understand it that way. So if you put this Rashi together with that Rashi, it means that Bnei Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu received at Har Sinai, some sort of outline of the mitzvot, some sort of knowledge of the mitzvot, understanding of it. Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to build a sukkah. Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to make tefillin. And so there's an emphasis here in this pasuk number one. In the parasha Behar, there's an emphasis that apparently Moshe Rabbeinu received what the Medrash calls klaloteha, pratoteha, diktukeha. Those are words. It's general ideas. It's detailed ideas. It's precise ideas. All of that was in the Kabbalah of the mitzvot at Har Sinai. That's what this parasha says. Again, the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah Shebichtav. And in order to move along with this idea, I thought we should remind ourselves of last week's parsha. And let me just do it in the language of the Rambam. Akdamata Rambam Daki Kol Mitzvah Shnatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Rabbeinu. Every mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, how many mitzvahs is that according to Rashi? All the mitzvot. Nitna Lo BePerusha. He received it with the necessary interpretation. Haya Omer Lo HaMitzvah. Hashem would say to Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the mitzvah. Here's the mitzvah, right? V'achar kach omer lo, perusha ve'inyana. And afterwards he would explain to him, perusha ve'inyana means how you do it, how you accomplish it. V'kol mashu kolel sefer ha-Torah. V'kol mashu shehu kolel sefer ha-Torah. That everything that was put into the to the Torah, Kolel Sefer Torah, V'inyan Limudo LiYisrael, and how did Moshe Rabbeinu teach it to Bnei Yisrael? Ayah, Kufi SheOmer, Ayah, as the Gemara itself teaches us, Ayah Moshe Nechnas BiOhalo, Moshe Rabbeinu would go into the Ohel. Ohel meaning Israel, that's the old way he taught people the Torah. Nechnas be'olalo, v'nechnas elav b'tchila Aharon, and Aharon came first to learn from him. U'Moshe Yahu me'lo mitzvah netuna lo pa'am achat, and Moshe Rabbeinu would explain the mitzvah to him one time, pa'am achat, v'limdehu. Perusha, v'limdeyu perusha. What does that mean, limdeyu perusha? He also taught him what you have to know about the words in order to understand them, in order to be able to affect them and do the mitzvah. You can't just say there's a mitzvah to put on tefillin. You have to show him what tefillin are. V'yistalek Aaron, and Aaron disappeared. V'yachzoli yamin Moshe Rabbeinu, and he came down and he sat next to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'nichlesu acharav Elazar v'Itamar banav. And after that, Aaron's sons came, Elazar v'Itamar. Haya Moshe amar lahem masha amar la'Aaron. He would repeat to Moshe, to them, what he said to Aaron. V'yistalku v'yeshev echad l'smol Moshe, Rabbeinu v'asheni li'yemin Aaron. It was the 70 skenim. Again, Vayelamdei Moshe, Kimoshe limeid le'Aaron ulevanav. And Moshe Rabbeinu would teach them just as he taught Aaron and his sons. In other words, not just the mitzvah, the bare mitzvah, but the details that make the mitzvah doable. And after that, all the people came, all those who seek God. Until they heard everything, Nimtza Aaron Shabea Mitzvah. Ahi mipi Moshe arba pa'amim, banav shalosh pa'amim, askenim shnei pa'amim, ushar ha'am pa'am achat. The point that I wanted to make, in the point that I wanted to make is that, you know, when you teach something, you have to be able to affect it. You have to be able to do it. Otherwise, you haven't taught it. You haven't done it at all. So the way that Moshe Rabbeinu taught is the way that you had to teach if you had a Torah Shebaal Peh or the Torah Shebichtav, and that's what the Rambam says. Moshe Rabbeinu had Torah Shebaal Peh or Torah Shebichtav, and that's what he had to teach. That's what he had to teach. Now, I wanted to mention this. We all know that sometimes this process of teaching the Torah Shebichtav with the Torah Shebaal Peh, it has its own difficulties. The pasuk in last week's parasha, "Ve'niv et ha'omer," lifnei Hashem, you heave the omer. That is an amount. Lifnei Hashem liritzonchem, mimocharat haShabbat yidipen makod. It's this idea of mocharat haShabbat. Mocharat HaShabbat. Mocharat HaShabbat. Rashi. Let's look at the Rashi. Mimacharat Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. We know that Svirat HaOmer starts on the day after Yontiv HaPesach in Eretz Yisrael. It starts. It starts the same time in Chutz La'aretz as well, except there's still another day of Yontif. Mimocharat Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. That's called Mimocharat HaShabbat. And so this became the subject of controversy. Originally the Baitusim, and then it was carried out by others who did not understand the tradition. Mimocharat Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. Shem Ata Omer Shabbat Bereshit. Rashi succinctly summarizes the problem that the pasuk says Mimocharat Shabbat, the day after Shabbat. That's when you do these mitzvot. So Rashi says, no, it's not after Shabbat, it's after Yom Tov. And not only that, Rashi says we have a way of defending it. Because if you said it was after Shabbat Bereshit, right, the 7 days from the time of the creation of the world that are repeated week after week after week. Because if Pesach falls out on Shabbat, the first day of Pesach is Shabbat, so then the last day of Pesach is followed by Shabbat. And so we don't know. If you say that the point is that we should start counting after Shabbat, that if you insist that the word Shabbat means what we call Shabbos, right? That's the, he says, Eata Omer Shabbat Breshit, Eata Yodea Ezehu, Eata Yodea Ezehu. The Rashbam, the Rambam says, Mimocharat Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. Again, so the Ibn Ezra, here there's a very long Ibn Ezra in which he tries to explain that the word Shabbat can legitimately be applied to Yom Tov. But the Baitusim is a contrary kind of group. And later on, the Karaites, the conservatives, the Reform, I mean, they didn't like this idea that Bimokrat Shabbat was the day after Pesach, in spite of what the Rashi pointed out to us. They didn't like it. And here you have an interesting case where the Torah Sheval Peh is supposed to be the clarifier, the thing that helps us understand where we stand in all of this. But in fact, it was difficult. It was difficult to be Mocharat Shabbat and last week's Parsha about Sfirat HaOmer. It was very difficult for us to defend me Mocharat Shabbat, even though finally we did manage to defend it, because somehow the majority of the Jewish people accepted the traditions. So this is like a different kind. This is an attack on the idea that there was Mimocharat, that there was a tradition of interpretation that came from Moshe Rabbeinu, which seemed to contradict what the Torah says. In the first case, we talked about something like Sukkah, where simply it's obvious to everybody, I have to have the information that enables me to build a Sukkah. And that was not the case that they argued. But Bimocharat HaShabbat, because the word that appears in the Torah is Shabbat, so we thought that would be a good place to argue against the tradition of interpretation. It's important for us to understand that when you say you understand something, or you know what it means, that it's not an obvious kind of thing. And therefore the Torah had to say, Behar Sinai, that even though the laws of Shemitah appear in the end of the book of Vayikra, which is certainly long after they left Har Sinai, somehow all of the Torah that we have relates back to the Torah of Sinai. And that is the case, this kind of relating to the Torah of Sinai. That is the case of the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah of Sinai. And this is encapsulated in the words of Rashi at the end of Mishpatim, that all the Ten Commandments somehow include all of the Taryag, all of the 613 mitzvot. And when it comes to the Shemitah teaches us that even if in the Torah we only find out about the details in Vayikra, they were around for Moshe Rabbeinu to know, even at Har Sinai, and that's the idea that the Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah Shebichtav relates back to the Kabbalat HaTorah of Har Sinai, where Moshe Rabbeinu learned all of the mitzvot, and the understanding of them, the meaning of them, the ability to translate the words into deeds. Have a good Shabbos. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.